John chapter 10, considering another one of the claims of Christ. And there in John 10 and verse 11, the Lord Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. When the Lord Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, was he not inferring that there are those shepherds that are not so good? And if anyone should know what is a good shepherd, it is, of course, the Lord himself, as we can see from the word of the prophet over in Ezekiel. If you turn to Ezekiel, please, in chapter 34. And here the Lord is speaking about shepherds. But these shepherds, he pronounces a woe against them. So they're not good shepherds. Ezekiel 34, verses 1 and 2. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel. Why? Why did God pronounce a woe unto the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves? Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? That, of course, is the task of a shepherd. He's to feed the flock. And here the Lord is speaking about those pastors or ministers who ought to be giving attention to their flocks. And the Lord pronounces a woe against them because of their neglect. The Lord describes them as being fleshly shepherds, only interested in feeding themselves and not their flocks. If you look there at verses 2 and 3 of Ezekiel 34, verses 2 and 3, again, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. It comes back to the same thing. That which grieves the Lord most of all is the fact that the shepherds do not feed their flocks. We read in Isaiah chapter 56, and there in verse 9, All ye beasts of the field come to devour, yea, all ye beasts of the forest. His watchmen are blind. Again, he's dealing with pastors and ministers. Calls them watchmen. That's what a minister ought to be, a watchman. His watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb. Dogs that they cannot bark. Sleeping, laying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs. That's the Lord's word. That's how the Lord describes them. It's interesting, you know, whenever you take a stand against apostasy and you denounce some apostate minister, even people say, oh, that's a terrible thing to say. You shouldn't preach against those men. Well, here the Lord uses stronger language. The Lord says, yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand They all looked to their own ways, every one for his gain from his quarter. The Lord's dealing there with pastors. He's dealing with ministers. He's dealing with the shepherds of Israel. The Lord also describes them as not only shepherds that are fleshly, but they are shepherds that forsake their flocks. There in verse 4 of Ezekiel. The diseased have they not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. That's the Lord's word about those shepherds who were fleshly shepherds and shepherds that had forsaken their flock, left them exposed to the wild beasts of the field, not shown any care for them at all. Such shepherds, so-called, have, of course, their parallel today. Pastors are ministers who do not feed their people, who do not feed their flock with the truth of God's word. Was not the first complaint the Lord had regarding these shepherds? They did not feed the flock. They feed themselves, but not the flock. That's where the Lord began his criticism of the shepherds of Israel. They did not feed their flock. Pastors are ministers who do not feed their people the truth of God's word, and so leave them exposed to every false prophet and every false doctrine, because they don't know. They haven't been told the truth, so they don't know the difference between good and evil, between truth and error. You turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. And here in Ephesians 4, in verse 14, this is what happens when a people are not given the truth. Verse 14, that ye henceforth be no more children. See, when you're not given the truth, then you're just like children. You haven't grown up. You haven't grown up. You haven't matured. That ye henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. That's what needs to be done. Speaking the truth. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. That's the difference. When the word of God is preached to a people, they will mature. They will grow up. They will no longer be children, spiritually speaking. They will grow up. They will mature. And they will be like Christ. They'll grow up in Christ. The Lord pronounces woe against those false shepherds because of their failure. Because of their failure to show any interest in the Lord's own sheep, his own people. Look there again at Ezekiel 34 and verse 6. My sheep wandered. Notice what he says. My sheep. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. There's their failure. The Lord is jealous, you see, for his people. He wants them to be cared for. He wants them to be fed. He wants them to be looked after. He wants them to be attended to. And he pronounced a woe against these shepherds because they failed to do any of those things, only interested in themselves. So the Lord indicates that he will be the shepherd to the sheep. He'll be the shepherd. If you look down there in Ezekiel 34 again, in verse 11, he pronounces woe against the false shepherds. And there we read in verse 11, "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out." As a shepherd, they are. The Lord says, I'll be the shepherd. "As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day." I'll be the shepherd. Now, is not in keeping with our text for this evening? The Lord there in Ezekiel says, I'll be the shepherd. And we come over to John chapter 10. It's the same person who's speaking. God is speaking. And God in Ezekiel 34 says, I'll be the shepherd. And God is speaking here in John chapter 10. He is the I Am. And the I Am says, I am the good shepherd. In contrast to those that we have just read about in Ezekiel. And indeed, to those that we read about here in John chapter 10. If you look at verse 12, "But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep." Doesn't care. Doesn't care. You bring that up to date in the present day, and you have these ministers and pastors, and they don't care about the spiritual welfare of their people. Because they'll not tell them the truth. They'll not tell them, you need to be born again. Oh, they'll tell them certainly, well, if your name's on the church roll, you'll be all right. If you attend church, you'll be all right. That's not the truth. They'll not be all right. They'll not be all right for eternity. They'll not be all right for heaven. And these men today, they don't tell the truth. Don't tell people you need to be saved, because in all probability they're not saved themselves. And remember, the Lord pronounced a woe against them. And we are told in Scripture that God will deal with those false shepherds on the day of judgment. And all the individuals, all those souls that were under the ministry of those false shepherds, God says, I'll demand the blood of every one of those souls at the hands of those false shepherds, because you didn't tell the truth. Serious business. Shepherd is to tell the truth. The shepherd is to feed his flock. And here the Lord says, I am the good shepherd. Says the Lord, saying, I told you about those shepherds that are not so good. Well, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And since we have seen something about false shepherds, let's feast our eyes now on the good shepherd. First of all, when we look at those words, I am the good shepherd, we see that Christ is the supreme shepherd. Of all the shepherds that we meet with in Scripture, or anywhere else, Christ is the supreme shepherd. because he himself has said, I am the good shepherd. Not a good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. And no one knows this better than the Savior himself. The Lord is speaking about himself. And he knows. And he says, I am the good shepherd. It's not a mere man saying that. It's Christ who's saying it. And he knows best. I am the good shepherd. He's the supreme shepherd. And regarding Christ and his supremacy, we notice first of all the particular shepherd. For he says, I am the good shepherd. So there is none beside him. There is none equal to him. There is none like him. Praise the Lord. He stands alone among all shepherds. And all other shepherds ought to look up to him. The word good, I am the good shepherd. The word good there means beautiful or pleasing. What a lovely way for Christ to describe himself. Didn't the bride in the Song of Solomon say, yeah, he is altogether lovely. And here the Lord says, I am the good shepherd. Beautiful and pleasing. He is beautiful in all that he does. And all that he does is pleasing. Now what the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I'm pleased with him because he is pleasing. He's a pleasing shepherd. Psalm 73 verse 1 says, truly God is good. And that's who he is. He is God. For he has said, I am the good shepherd. Remember that the Lord said to a certain ruler who came to him. We read about that ruler in Luke chapter 18. Luke 18. And we read in verse 18. Luke 18, verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one. That is God. So there the Lord taught that ruler that the one that he was speaking to was none other than God himself. No, there's none good but one, that is God. And here Christ identifies himself as that one. For such an individual as this cannot be found among the sons of Adam. None among the sons of Adam can be found that could say, I am good. We know that from Romans chapter 3. For there in Romans 3 and verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. Not one. Not one. You think of all the sons of Adam, born to Adam and Eve, and all the following generations to now, and all the people that are in the world. There's not one of them righteous. Not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. You can go on down that chapter. Not one. Yet the Lord Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. You go on over in Romans to Romans chapter 7. And there in verse 18, this is Paul speaking about himself. Paul says in Romans 18 and verse 17, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. That's Paul saying. Paul says there's no good thing in me. And the Lord Jesus was able to say, I am good. I am the good shepherd. Because he's God. And the Psalm 34 verse 8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And all who have put their trust in him, and all who have tasted of Christ, have indeed found him to be good. And as his sheep, we will gladly say, and speaking from experience, the Lord is good to all. Every one of us here tonight who know and love the Lord Jesus, every one of us then, every believer here and elsewhere throughout the world, every believer would be able to testify and say, the Lord is good to all. The Lord is good to us all. And his tender mercies are over all his works. And all who have tasted of Christ have found the Lord is good. And so without any hesitation, we can say tonight, the Lord is a good shepherd. As well as him being a particular shepherd, we notice also he's a preeminent shepherd. Again, the Lord said, I am the good shepherd. That sets him apart from everyone else. He didn't say, I am a good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Remember what Paul said in Colossians 1 and verse 18 regarding the Lord Jesus Christ? In all things, he might have the preeminence. In all things, he might have the preeminence. In all things. The word things, if you look there at the that word in Colossians, that in all things he might have the preeminence. You look at the verse, the word things is in italics. And we know what that means. Our good authorized version translators put the word thing in there to help add sense to the verse. But they were honest and they put it in italics to let us know it's not in the original. And so when you look at Colossians 1 and verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, you can leave it out. In all things he might have the preeminence. Now read it. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all he might have the preeminence. Not just things, but in all. In all, the Lord will have the preeminence. That is, among all men, he has the preeminence. Among all angels, he has the preeminence. Among all glorified saints, he has the preeminence. Because he's the good shepherd. He's preeminent above all. Not only does the Lord speak of himself as the good shepherd, but others speak of him in a similar way, emphasizing his preeminence. Peter. What did Peter say of Christ? How did Peter describe Christ? 1 Peter 5, verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. When the chief shepherd shall appear. And so here is Peter, and he's lifting up Christ, and he's saying, he's the chief shepherd. That means anyone who's chief, that means they're first. They're before everyone else. And so the Lord, according to Peter, is the chief shepherd. And what is he to the Apostle Paul? What is Christ to the Apostle Paul? Well, we say, Paul, tell us. What is Christ to you? This is what Paul answers. Our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. So to Peter, he's the chief shepherd. To Paul, he's the great shepherd. And the Lord Jesus Christ describes himself as the good shepherd. You couldn't get any better than that. What is he to us? Isn't he the chief shepherd? We're his flock, and doesn't he look after us well? He's not only the good shepherd to us, he's the chief shepherd. And he's a great shepherd. Of course, he is all three and much more, good and chief and great. No sheep could have a better shepherd than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the particular shepherd. He is the preeminent shepherd. He's also the personal shepherd. Isn't that what we sang tonight? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me down to lie. In pastures green he leadeth me. The quiet waters by. He's our own personal shepherd. And our personal shepherd is good. And our personal shepherd is great. And our personal shepherd is chief among all shepherds. That's what he is to us. The Lord is my shepherd. And all that the psalmist said about him, we can say it is all true. What is written in Psalm 23, we can say to us it's all true. We have found that out experientially. We've experienced it. We can say we know that the Lord is a good shepherd to the sheep. We can say again with the psalmist, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Psalm 107, verse 1. His ways are good. His will is good. His witness is good. Word, good. Everything about him is good. He's my shepherd, and therefore I shall not want. There you are. You can get a better shepherd than that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He will never leave any of his children begging bread. I shall not want. Let's read in Psalm 34, verse 10. The young lions may lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. He's the good shepherd. We notice then that he is the supreme shepherd. And it would be good even if the verse ended there. It would be good. But the verse doesn't end there. The Lord's word didn't finish there. Because the Lord said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That takes it a step further, as it were. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So therefore, he's not only the supreme shepherd, he's the sacrificing shepherd. And here we see what Christ sacrificed for the sheep. For you and me. Regarding the sacrificing shepherd, the fact that the good shepherd gave his life for the sheep, that tells us, first of all, he's a genuine shepherd. He is genuine. In light of these words, there cannot be any doubt that the Lord Jesus is the good shepherd. Because in the very next verse, the Lord speaks about shepherds that are not good. For verse 11, or verse 12 rather, the Lord says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not. Doesn't care. Careth not for the sheep. You want to know if a man is genuine or not, don't tell me what he says. Tell me what he does. A person can say many a thing, make many a promise, but it comes down to what he does. That's when you know if the individual is genuine or not. And here the Lord Jesus tells us what he did. He says, I am the good shepherd. How do we know? Because the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. David, before he came king of Israel, David was a good shepherd. He tells us about what he did as a shepherd. Remember that time he was sent by his father to the battle when Israel was fighting the Philistines, and there was a standoff between the armies of Israel and the Philistines, led by Goliath. And David went to the battlefield and saw what was happening. And when no one else would go against Goliath, David said, I'll go. Well, Saul didn't think David was strong enough to go, because he told David, this man Goliath, he's a man of war. He's had experience. And then David tells him what he did. And we read in 1 Samuel 17. And there we read in verse 34, "And David said unto Saul, Thy servant," speaking about himself, "kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him." David was a good shepherd, was he not? Imagine going out after a lion. He already fought a bear. But here a lion had come in amongst the flock and taken hold of a lamb. And David, as the shepherd that he was, went out after the lion and grabbed him by the beard and delivered the lamb out of the lion's mouth and slew the lion. David was a good shepherd, because David risked his life to save the lamb. I said David was a good shepherd. Christ is the good shepherd. Because David may have risked his life to save the lamb from the lion, but Christ didn't risk his life. Christ gave his life. Now you know why the Lord said, "I am the good shepherd." Because the Lord gave his life. And while the lamb was delivered out of the mouth of the lion by David, Christ has delivered us out of the mouth of the roaring lion, who goeth about seeking whom he may devour. The Lord said, "I lay down my life for the sheep." Verse 15. Voluntarily, willingly, lovingly. "For greater love is no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. John 15, verse 13. And doesn't that set the Lord Jesus apart from all other shepherds? Does not prove that he's genuine. He's a genuine shepherd because he laid down his life. No, he's not like the hireling. "For when the hireling was faced with death, the hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. But our Lord Jesus showed that he cared for his sheep, and how he cared for us. And he faced death. And he laid down his life." That word careth. A hireling careth not for the sheep. The word careth, as you may imagine, means to care for, or to take care. So the hireling is not interested in taking care of the sheep, but Jesus is. And believer, hasn't he taken care of us? Hasn't he taken care of us by laying down his life for us? We can say no one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. So we see our shepherd is genuine. We see our shepherd and His grace. We noted this morning the grace that was given to Moses and his family. It is set forth before us here in a similar way. We have considered something of the Savior's love. I lay down my life for the sheep. But why should He love His sheep at all? Do you ever think of that? Do you ever think, why should God love us? Why? Why should God love us? Sure, we are the most unlovely creatures in the face of creation. There's nothing in us to love. We read there in Romans 3, verse 10 and on down, what man is in the eyes of God. Isaiah tells us we're full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. That's what we are, in the eyes of God. Yet the Lord loved us. But He loved us and gave Himself for us. Does that not speak to us of grace? Why He should love us? According to His grace. Didn't Paul say, for by grace are you saved? Through faith. By grace. The hymn writer got it right when he penned the words, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace, love and grace. They're like twins, aren't they? Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Love and grace played their part in our salvation. And if we look carefully at our reading, we see how grace is set forth. You know, we often refer to Bible Numbers. It's an inspired book, so it's there. The Holy Spirit put the words there. And we are to pay attention to them. We know that 5 is the number of grace. Now you look at those words that we read tonight, and you will find that the words giveth His life for the sheep is found 5 times in various ways. We have it there in the verse 11, giveth His life for the sheep. We have it in verse 15, I lay down my life for the sheep. We have it in verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life. Verse 18, no man taketh it from me, but I lay down my life, lay down of myself, there's 4th, and have power to lay it down, there's 5 times. 5 times the Lord said that He laid down His life. And 5 is the number of grace. All of grace. For by grace are you saved. It's not of ourselves. It's our faith in Christ. And faith itself is a gift. God gave us faith to believe and to trust Him and receive Him. See, salvation is all of God. All. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace. Freely bestowed on all who believe. As well as seeing Him as genuine and seeing His grace, we notice His gain. We might ask, who did the good shepherd lay down His life for? Who did the good shepherd give His life for? Well, we have read it. I laid down my life for the sheep. And again, when referring to the Gentiles for whom He would lay down His life, we read in the verse 16, And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. He's referring to the Gentiles. Other sheep I have. So he's talking about the Gentiles who are not yet saved, but he calls them his sheep. And he says, other sheep I have. He's speaking as if he already has them. He's speaking as if they're already saved. But they're not, of course. Because the gospel was preached to the Jew first, then to the Gentiles. I lay down my life for the sheep. So it is clear that the Savior laid down his life for the sheep. Now over in Matthew 25, the Lord speaks about his return. And how upon his return, all nations and tongues and nations will stand before him. And he will divide them. And in Matthew 25 and verse 31, and when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep, from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Who are the sheep? The sheep are those who are saved. The goats are those who are not saved. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, that's where the sheep are, unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Who did Christ die for? Who did he lay down his life for? He laid down his life for the sheep. We read in Matthew 1, verse 21, when the message was delivered to Joseph regarding the coming Christ child, the angel appeared to Joseph in a dream, and he said that Mary would bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Jesus means Savior. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. He shall save his people. So who are his people? Paul tells us in Ephesians 1 verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Now you get the picture. That's who the good shepherd laid down his life for. He laid down his life for those who were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Christ did not lay down his life for every man, woman in the world. He did not. He laid down his life for his sheep. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. There are those who teach that Christ died for all of mankind. No, he didn't. We've seen that. He laid down his life for those who were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Now you think of that. Before the foundation of the world, the Lord chose you and he chose me to be saved. Before the foundation of the world. Before he created the sun and the moon. Before he placed the stars in the firmament. He already knew us. He had already chosen us. But for us to get into the kingdom of heaven, Christ had to die for us. That's why he came into the world. He came into the world for us. He laid down his life for his sheep. Not for the world. In the Lord's great high priestly prayer, in John 17, verse 9, the Lord said, I pray not for the world. He doesn't pray for the world. He didn't die for the world. He didn't die for the goats, he died for the sheep. I pray for them, the Lord said, for them, his disciples and those who would believe. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And then the Lord say, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. We ought to thank God every day that the Father gave us the Christ, and the Christ came into the world to die for us, to lay down his life for us. He's the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. In the last place, and quickly, we have, he's the sensitive shepherd as well as the supreme shepherd and the sacrificing shepherd. He's a sensitive shepherd. The hirelings were not sensitive. Regarding his sensitivity, we notice he's the loyal shepherd. He's loyal to his sheep. For we read there in verse 12, regarding an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth them. He leaves the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. He doesn't care. But Christ cares. And Christ is loyal. He'll never leave us. Nobody said in Hebrews 13, verse 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5, the Lord said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. But they may be, those words may be rendered as follows. I will never, no never, leave thee, nor forsake thee. He's loyal. The word forsake is the same word that's used by the Savior himself when he hung on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Christ was forsaken of God because of us. But he says, I'll never forsake you. Isn't that something? Isn't that wonderful? I'll never forsake you. I was forsaken of God for your sakes. But I'll never forsake you. He's a loyal shepherd. He's a loving shepherd. He careth for the sheep. Praise the Lord. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And we can say amen to that. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our dear Lord and loving Father, we bless thee for the Lord Jesus Christ and what he is and what he means to us. We're glad we can add our amens to the words of the Savior when he said, I am the good shepherd. And we, Lord, speaking from experience, can say, yes, the Lord is a good shepherd. And the Lord has given his life for the sheep. He has given his life for us. Help us, Lord, to thank thee for that every day. Every day. Lord, I pray again, write the word upon our hearts. may it not, as it were, go in one ear and out the other. But may it find a place in our hearts that will cause us to rejoice and give thanks to God for giving His Son and for Him being the Good Shepherd and giving His life for us. Lord, be with us now as we leave the house of God. Grant us all traveling mercy. Keep us safe on the highway. Be with us, Lord, throughout this week. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.